2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. One of our texters is also telling us of another traffic problem right now. This is a rollover accident on the Mountain View Corridor at 6300 South. It is impacting the left-hand lane. That left-hand lane is blocked, so you'll want to be aware of that this morning. Let's go back to our phone lines, and let's take Lane, who is in Kaysville. And good morning, Lane. How can we help you this morning? Lane, are you there?
Hello.
Go ahead, Lane.
I am. I have a problem where I have a couple of trees that are 18 years old that we planted too close to the house. So they aren't actually touching the house, but they hang over it and fill my gutters up, which are way too high for me to get up and clean out. And my wife doesn't want me to take them out, but I'm wondering if I can severely trim them back and what will happen if I do.
They probably will grow back within 4 to 5 years and be a problem again, and they will have weaker wood. So if you wanted to bring an arborist or something in to do some careful pruning, you might be able to get them from the house to where the branches would grow back, but it would at least protect those branches from becoming having weak branch angles and weak crotch angles.
And one of them is a flowering pear, and the other one is a beech.
Okay. The flowering pear would grow back more quickly than the beech, but the issue is the same for both trees.
So you think the beech would grow back? They're so slow. It would still grow back within 4 or 5 years?
It just depends. They're slower growing, and so it might take a little longer, but it still would eventually fill back in. Where there is empty space, Mother Nature will fill it, and you're fighting against the genetics of the tree to want to grow into a certain form.
So you'd recommend just taking them out?
No, I never would said that.
Mm-mm.
Now, when your bride
then there would
wants
be marriage counseling.
Yes,
mm-mm.
That's a different program. So I would recommend.
Do you guys do that?
No. No. All I really know is the old saying.
You two seem to get along so well.
Yes, if you want a happy wife, you have a happy wife is a happy life. So. I just always keep that in mind when I'm making recommendations.
You can also put something over your gutters there, you know. There are those screens that you can put over the gutters so the leaves won't get in the gutters. That might be another solution.
Yeah. That was what I was going to do, and my son came and said, yeah, I did that. Didn't work. Just take them out. So do I keep my wife happy or my son?
Oh, man.
Your wife.
Family counseling.
I will say that the pear is more likely to have breaking branches because those, when they get to be about between 15 and 25 years old, become a lot more susceptible to breaking in snow. And so if you did need to take one out, there is some justification on the pear because the limbs are much more likely to break than the beech tree.
As a matter of fact, I had a pear break in the windstorm a year ago. So
yeah, they'll fold down like an umbrella.
Okay.
All right, good luck. You have a problem there.
Let me one more quick question. I have a rose of Sharon Bush, I think it is, and I noticed the leaves look a little shiny and gummy looking.
They may have aphids on it. If they're sticky, it's probably aphids. And then you could initially just use a stiff stream of water, but a horticultural soap sprayed once or twice a week for 3 or 4 weeks would get rid of that. But if they're kind of gummy okay. and shiny, that's probably aphids.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener is in Mapleton, and they have a chestnut tree that's about 8 feet tall. Sounds like it's a fairly new one. They say they aren't getting the large blooms in the spring, and they're wondering if that's going to come when that tree matures more.
It may.
They do get some flowers.
And it will get more flowers as the tree matures, but if they're doing pruning on the tree, they could be actually cutting the flower buds off, too, if they're pruning at the wrong time of year.
So when would they prune that tree?
If they need to, it'd be right after it's done blooming. And I don't know why they would, but that needs to be considered. But as the tree grows, it will grow more blossoms.
All right. Next person wants to know, how can you tell if you have bugs or if you need to water your lawn more?
Pull the grass. Right now, it's still too early to really detect most insects that would be feeding on lawns, with the exception of maybe sod webworm. Mm-hmm. But if you go out to where that grass is brown, and it needs to be fairly recent, and if that brown grass pulls up really easily and there's really no roots attached, that's most likely insect damage. But if it's rooted, then it's either drought stress or it is a fungal disease. And the next procedure is to get a screwdriver with a 6-inch long shaft on it and shove it down into the soil. And if it goes down really easily, then it's not irrigation problems and it's probably a fungal disease.
All right. Next person says, last year their raspberries had small white bugs on the fruit. What do you recommend to get rid of them?
It depends on what the bugs are. It's so hard to know without pictures or more details. But I wouldn't recommend anything beyond like a neem oil or a horticultural soap because they're going to be eating those berries. And just even if they wait that period of time, you know, something like 7 or... you know, permethrin is probably too strong. And just because they are soft-bodied, a soap or an oil would knock them out, and there would usually only be a day or two wait before they could eat the fruit.
Mm-hmm. Next person says their peonies had huge, beautiful red blooms, and in 5 days, most of the petals are now gone, and it happened after watering, no direct spray. Any ideas why that might happen?
Yeah, we haven't blamed anything on demons yet, this program. I know you're probably
And you're going to blame demons on the peonies?
It. Yes.
Yes, I'm hoping to avoid that, yes.
Okay. Well, we won't blame demons
okay,
then.
Okay, good.
I think that it may have been maybe some wind damage or frost damage. And I don't know if it's happened in the past, but some peonies are going to be more susceptible to the petals falling off than others. There may have been some insect damage in there also, mm-hmm. but I would more chalk it up to maybe the variety and maybe and also wind.
Mine haven't even bloomed yet. I mean, they're in a tight bud stage.
I've seen a few coming out. You know, USU does a lot of work with local cut flower farms, mm-hmm. and they have been putting peonies in low tunnels and high tunnels and have had them blooming over the last several weeks and for sale locally. It's not USU itself, but a lot of the people they're working with. And so there's been quite an industry developing for local fresh cut flowers.
They're so beautiful.
They are.
5 days, though, that's pretty short, isn't it?
It is. And that's why I suspect there might be some insect or frost damage and maybe even wind damage that caused it to go a little early.
All right. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Our next listener says they were told that their eastern red bud had verticillium wilt, and they say they guess they have to plant something resistant to it in that soil now, and they want to know if a golden chain would be good there or no.
Probably. Golden chain trees are going to be much more adapted to our soils. They grow well in clay. They tolerate a little bit of salt. They're just a better adapted tree. Now, the golden chain tree, or excuse me, golden chain, no. Golden rain. Now I'm getting myself confused. Let me go back to the Latin name, Colrutaria. Golden rain tree is the all summer right. blooming one that we're recommending, which is Colrutaria. Golden chain is blooming now. And for how pretty that tree is, it is a wimpy tree. Mm. And so just to differentiate, laburnum is the Latin name on golden chain, which is blooming now. And it will not be in the yard more than 10 or 15 years. They just don't last that long. But if you could veer over toward golden chain tree, which is our summer bloomer, it does have seed pods, and people are like, oh, I don't like those. But it's a very adaptable tree to Utah. It only gets about 30 feet high and wide. And it just, you see it growing in areas with tough soil. So if they needed something with that sort of look, the golden rain tree would probably be a better option.
Okay. The next person says they also heard us talking about the damage to maples, and they're wondering if that could have happened with their red oak that did not leaf out. They had some branches that did not leaf out.
Yes. We are seeing several species of trees that include Japanese maples, and I would suspect that if red oak is just blooming, only blooming out or leafing out around the crown, toward the lower crown, that that's probably winter damage.
What was the name of the replacement tree that you suggested for white bark beechwood trees?
I have no idea.
You don't remember what that was?
I don't. For white bark trees, there are some Asian species of birch that are resistant to bronze birch borer if they're interested in that sort of a thing. There's Himalayan birch is one of them, and that may be it. But we make so many recommendations that
not
people
sure
are like,
which
you said
one
this on the show, and I'm like,
I
have no recollection of that.
All right.
I'm like a politician sometimes.
Oh, stop
I'm just
that.
Kidding. There are
stop
a lot of good that. Politicians out there.
Okay, so let's go to Ralph, who's waiting in South Weber. Good morning, Ralph. How can we help you this morning?
Yes, I just started raising raised beds. I've always had not had raised beds, but I raise a lot of tomatoes, and my issue is the tomatoes that I put in about 2 weeks ago are like almost dark green to purple, and I wonder if I put too much nitrogen in the soil or not enough, or what do I need to correct it? And
are
some of the
using...
leaves have gone yellow.
Okay.
So am I overwatering
using...
or...
Well, let me ask you some questions. Are you using artificial soil or your native soil?
Well, I brought some soil in, and then I put some steer manure in it to because it's neutral. The soil
when
was
you brought soil in, is it just topsoil or purchased from a nursery? What kind of soil did you bring
in? It was purchased from a nursery.
Okay. And then you added more manure to it. You may need to have that tested by USU Soil Lab, but I suspect that it might be a little salty. You know, your native
salty.
Yeah, your native soil is it? Are you in the area with sandy soil?
Mostly clay.
Okay, there's areas of South Weber that does have sandy soil. So if you're in mostly clay, it's still if it was an old alfalfa area, which a lot of South Weber was,
then the
soil is sufficient for growing tomatoes. But if you've got these raised beds, get your soil tested and also keep an eye on the tomatoes. A lot of times they struggle for a couple of weeks and the old leaves don't recover, but you get new leaves that look fine. So you'll also want to keep an eye on them. But in the meantime, on Tuesday after the holiday, get a couple of cups of that soil and mail it off. You can go to the website usual, just the word usual, .usu.edu, and you want the routine test. So usual and routine. And that routine test will tell you if the soil is too salty.
Okay. It's got too much salt in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I suspect because it was already pre-mixed at a nursery, and then you put more organic matter in there.
Well,
that's potentially
it was
salty.
Well, it's actually neutral. They didn't. It. I actually had to add the manure to it to give it some. They had not put anything in it.
So it was it just straight topsoil or a raised bed mix?
Raised bed soil.
So they may have been. They may not put manure in there, but with what you added, the salt still needs to be checked.
Yeah. Would I replace the plants or?
It's getting to the point that by the time you get that test back, it'll be a week or so at least. So if you need to replace the plants, I would purchase them now just on hedging your bets, because by the time mid-June comes, there may not be a good selection and you still would get a crop. But it would be getting a little late in the season.
All right. We need to take a break for the top of the hour news. Back with more of your calls and comments and talking landscape design at the top.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.